Hey everyone, my name is Jules, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text The River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support The River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you were blessed by today's message.
Good evening, everybody. You know, I had to train myself. I was upstairs. I'm like, it is night. It is not morning. Say good evening. Say good evening. Say good evening. I walked downstairs. First person I see, good morning. So great to see you. I was like, come on. What am I doing? But good evening, everybody. My name is Patrick Bicknell. I'm the location pastor at our Walled Lake location here at the River Church. And just so thankful to be here with you all tonight, to be opening the Word for a little bit. This is especially joyful for me because it's been just over a year that I've been in Walled Lake. I was the student pastor here for a number of years. And even before I was on staff here, I sat right over there in that area with my dad at Tuesday nights as I was struggling with some different things in my life, wanting to recover. And so this ministry has a special place in my heart, and I just love to see that it is still continuing, that we are still seeing lives change, that we are celebrating recoveries. It is just so, so amazing, and I just can't wait to open up the Word tonight with you all. So let's pray, and then we'll dive into it. So Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for this incredible time to worship your name, to open the Word, to see what you have for us, and to continue to fight to follow you, to see how you will move in our hearts. So God, I pray that you would be with me tonight, that you would get all the glory, and that you'd help us to follow you more deeply tonight. So God, we love you so much, and pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. If not, you can follow along on screen. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Talking through the armor of God, and we're going to read this verse here. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Now, I love this entire section on the armor of God. I was so excited when I asked Justin, okay, what am I preaching on? What are we going through? He said, the armor of God. I was so happy to be doing this because I love this section. Because a little bit about myself, I am very into war movies, fighting movies, whatever it is, right? So I feel like that's the path of guy manhood that I went down, is just getting into World War II and movies like that, right? So any World War II movie, The Gladiator, especially Lord of the Rings, I love those movies when guys are just fighting, it's just dude stuff, it's awesome. So for a second, I want us to put on our nerd caps, all right? I don't know if you're into Lord of the Rings, but I am, and so you're going to go with me for just a second, okay? Let's put our nerd caps on. There's a movie, Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. And in this movie is an amazing scene called the Battle of Helm's Deep. And so your homework for tonight, pastor's telling you this, if you have not watched Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, Battle of Helm's Deep, you go home and watch Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, Battle of Helm's Deep, all right? That's your homework for me. But in this scene, they're getting ready to fight this huge army. These evil orcs are coming to just tear everyone apart. And so they're all putting on this armor. Every single person's getting ready to fight. So dudes, they're loading up shields, swords. And I watch and I'm just like, yes, that's what I'm talking about. And when I read the armor of God, that's what I think of myself. I'm like, yes, let's put this armor on. Let's go to fight against Satan, against those spiritual powers. Let's do this. I'm going to fight against sin in my life. I got this. I'm a man. I'm going to be able to put this armor on and let's go. Woo. Now, if you know what I'm saying, talking a lot about myself as I picture that. And very easily, what happens, at least for me, in the fight against sin, in this spiritual warfare that all of us go through, fighting not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the air, too often can focus on my own strength. Oh, I got this. I've been clean for this long. I've read my Bible. I've been going to church. I got this. I can do this all myself. And if I'm not careful, that's what it turns into. And so I think, and I believe before we talk about any piece of the armor of God, I know you guys have been studying through it. I know we've been hearing sermons. on the armor of God, before we go into any piece of it, we need to come back to verse 10. Because what does it say? Before it explains any piece of the armor, before it explains how to use it, how to put it on, how to use it to fight this spiritual warfare we're in, what does it say? Be strong in yourself and in the strength of your might. Absolutely not. The very first thing it says, for it gives you the armor of God, what are you supposed to do? You don't look to yourself. You don't think, man, I got this, right? Let's put that armor on like those movies and let's go to war. No. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. What is your strength for the spiritual warfare that we're in? What is your strength as you are fighting this fight of recovery, as you are fighting against addiction, against sin? What is your strength? It is always and only the Lord. We cannot forget or move on from this truth. And I believe it is especially true as we talk about recovery. As we talk about these sins that we have, that we want to kill out of our life. If we aren't first and always going back to the strength of the Lord, we're just setting ourselves up for failure. The moment we take our eyes off of him, the moment we forget, he is our strength. He is our victory. He did this work for us. He works through us to fight and kill this sin. When we take our eyes off of him, that is when we begin to lose. It happened so much for me. Especially early on, right when I told you, I was sitting over there with my dad, 18 years old, wanting to stop drinking, wanting to stop smoking, wanting to stop these bad habits I had. You do good for a while. And I would forget, my strength is in the Lord. I look to myself, and what would I do? I would fall right back into that sin. It's all throughout Scripture. We get plenty of stories in Scripture that teach us this truth. One of the most famous ones, right? Peter walking on the water. Did Peter walk on the water because he was divine? Did Peter walk on the water because he was strong enough? Because he was God? Why was Peter walking on the water? Because Jesus asked him to come out and he said, look at me. Keep your eyes on me. Jesus is the one that kept him on that water. And what happened when he began to sink? He took his eyes off of Jesus. That's when he began to fall through. Because he was thinking about his circumstances, thinking about what's going on in his life, and forgot to look to the Lord. I think of Paul. Paul in 2 Corinthians, a verse I love so much. He's pleading with God, take this away from me. Take this thorn in the flesh. I've pleaded with the Lord 3 times. And what does God say to him? Paul, you are strong in yourself. Fight against this, Paul. Paul, you got this. Be strong in your might and your strength. It's not what he says. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So that is the truth we need to keep at the forefront of our mind as we are talking about this spiritual warfare. And that's the context for all of the armor of God. When we fight against sin, it's not just these physical things we see of this world. It is this spiritual warfare that we are engaged in. And that's why this armor of God is so important for us. But if we just look at the armor of God and think of all the things you have to do, you have to put on that helmet, you have to hold that, put on that breastplate, you have to put on that shield, you have to take that sword, you're stop focusing on Jesus, focus on your own strength, and you're setting yourself up for failure. So I know we've gone to that verse, but I felt like we just had to start there because it is so important that our only hope is for every single person in the world. There's not a single person or someone who says they believe in Jesus who is excluded from this. Every single person, if we are going to sustain within this fight of spiritual warfare, killing sin, fighting against the powers of the air, our only hope is clinging to the Lord, looking to him. That's why I love how this whole section starts. Finally, Paul laying his heart out to the church at Ephesus. Finally, be strong in the Lord. But then we get to what the piece of armor that we're going to be looking at tonight. So go down just a few verses to Ephesians 6, verse 15. He says, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now I'll be honest. As I said, I like my war movies. I like my fight movies. The armor of God is amazing. You got the shield, the helmet, the breastplate. I don't know why they didn't just say boots. I see the shoes and I'm like, I think of someone just, all this armor head to toe and then some Nike Air Maxes on underneath it when I read shoes. But we think of these boots we have as this piece of armor we're looking at tonight. And I believe there's two different ways that we are supposed to use these shoes. That we are meant to put it into practice of how we use this armor to fight the spiritual warfare. Two ways, offensively and defensively. And I believe the first way that I want to look at defensively, we look at what these shoes make us ready for. It says the readiness given by the gospel of peace. The readiness given by the message of the gospel. We put on these shoes and it gives us this standing fighting position. Now, I'm no boxer, clearly. I'm no fighter, although I like my movies. But I know there's different positions and stances you get in fights. Right? There's that offensive stance we're going to go, but that defensive stance, ready to receive any attacks that are coming against you. Ready to stand firm no matter what you are about to go through. And so this first part, this defensive stance, how does the message of the gospel of peace, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, give us the ability to stand firm when those attacks come? To stand firm when that temptation starts to creep up in your life. Because make no mistake, if you're in recovery for one day or 10 years or 100 years, those temptations, that they persist, they fight. Satan wants to get at you. Satan wants to attack you and tear you down. That's why, again, the spiritual warfare is so important to understand. We're never away from it. And it's especially true when you surrender to the truth of the gospel. It is in those moments, as you continue to follow God, as Satan starts to attack even harder. So this defensive position, how does the message of the gospel of peace make us ready to stand firm? Well, I think we first need to ask, what's this message? So if he says, and has shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, what is this gospel that is helping us to stand firm? What is this gospel Paul's talking about here in chapter 6 that gives us the ability to stand firm and to get victory when that fight comes? Because again, spiritual warfare. And in war, what do you want? What do nations want when they wage war? They want victory. Right? Nations don't go to war and are like, you know what? Really hope I lose. Really hope we're waging this war and all I want to do is lose. We want victory. And especially for ourselves, right? When we're in this spiritual warfare, what do we want? We want victory. We want to be able to overcome those addictions. We want to be able to look back 10 years from now and go, I've been clean all those 10 years. Look at what the Lord has brought me through. Look at how he has helped me to stand firm. We want that victory. Every day you wake up, I hope for you. You are saying to yourself, I want victory. How do you get that victory? What does this message do? Well, the message of the gospel that helps you stand firm is this. Victory is already won. That's the message for you. This message that helps us to stand firm is not, man, you better fight with all your might because the balance is up in the air. Man, for your soul, your salvation, we don't know. We'll see what happens when we get to the end of the road. Maybe we'll get the victory or not. I don't know. God's up there. He's not with us. He's given it to us. That here's your armor. Good luck. Fight this fight. The truth for us is the victory's already won. It's because of what Jesus Christ has done. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 55. One of my favorite passages of scripture. If you haven't read it, I would encourage you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and just read this beautiful chapter. Of Paul just laying out the truth of the resurrection of Christ. But these two verses say, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? You know, we're standing in this defensive position as Satan is attacking us, as temptations are arising. You know what you say in those moments? Where is your victory? You say to your flesh, oh flesh, where is your sting? Where is it now? There is nothing to condemn us. We have the victory in Christ. And I think it's so wonderful because that which Satan wanted to be the end of us all, the whole reason Satan deceived Adam and Eve in the garden, to bring about this plague and this curse to separate man from God. And the problem was that death came into all. That's why we experience it in our fallen, broken bodies, this horrible curse of sin. And death was meant to be the ultimate killing blow to God's great creation. But what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do that we are always meant to run back to? What's our strength that we're always running back to? What do we say in those moments? Jesus came to the world and lived perfectly for you. Jesus came to the world and died on the cross for you because of your sins. And he nailed them to the cross, kept them in the empty tomb, and rose again. So now we all say together, where is your victory, O death? Where is your sting? That's the truth for us. You know what I love about it being readiness of the gospel? Let me just get this wording right. Readiness given by the gospel of peace is it means for us when we believe in the good news of Jesus. Again, that Jesus came to the world, lived perfectly, died on the cross, rose again. It means peace is given to all who surrender. And isn't that what we're longing for? Isn't that what our hearts long for? We're hoping we find peace in whatever substance it may be, whatever person it may be, whatever situation it may be. Will this money give me peace? Will this pill give me peace? Will drinking tonight give me peace? And we know it's not true. The only thing that gives us true peace is this beautiful truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So my question tonight, just for you, do you want victory? It's a question you should ask yourself every day. Do I want victory? Do I want victory over this sin? Do I want to be able to stand firm as I am fighting against this sin? Do I want to be able to win this spiritual war I'm in? And guess what you do? Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Every day, wake up, go to the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, I need your strength. Jesus, give me the shoes of the gospel to be ready to withstand, ready to be in this defensive position no matter what attacks come at me by the enemy. Jesus, come to me and remind me of this truth that Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Oftentimes when we're trying to be in this defensive position in recovery, in fighting sin, what happens? All those lies are thrown at you. Maybe it's your own flesh. Maybe it's your old friends. Satan whispering something in your ear, that's all you deserve. Go back to those things you know. Go back to the sin you used to live in. That's the only thing you deserve. But what does the truth say? There is therefore now no condemnation for you. So you put these shoes onto the gospel and you stand firm and remind yourself of the truth that Jesus died. Jesus died for my sins and gives me the victory. Not because I could earn it, not because I was good enough, not because I fought hard enough, but he died for me while I was still a sinner. It says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He gives us the strength to withstand. And in Christ, all this condemnation's gone. In Christ, no matter how many attacks are thrown at you, no matter how long you fight for, you're not in a battle where the outcome is still to be determined. You're in a battle that is guaranteed, where the victory is secured, And there's going to be times where it seems hard. There's going to be times you wonder, how long am I going to fight for? I feel like I'm giving everything I got. What do you do? Choose the gospel. Stand firm in that truth. Don't believe those lies. Don't believe those feelings. Having these tools in our toolbox to be able to stand firm, to remind ourselves, to speak scripture over our life in those moments, to stand defensively. The second way, this defensive position we're in, then the second way we can use these boots, these shoes, is in an offensive way. Offensively, going on the attack as we're talking about this spiritual warfare. Then I believe the offensive way, to be able to use these boots in an offensive manner, not offensive, but offensive, is the willingness of the believer to go share the good news of Jesus Christ. So we have this way of standing firm, right, defending when the attacks come, but we have the truth. We have the gospel and the good news. We're not just meant to always stand there and receive. We're meant to go and tell people what Jesus has done. We're meant to go and tell people the truth of the gospel. Now, I believe oftentimes this aspect is overlooked when we talk about recovery or when we talk about needing to overcome struggles in our life, to overcome sin issues. We overlook this aspect of sharing the good news because sharing the good news is only for those strong Christians. The ones that have no struggles. Now, spoiler alert, I think we all know they don't exist. There's no person out there that has zero struggles. But sometimes we tell ourselves, man, well, what I've been through, if you know what I've done, I can't be the one to go share the news. That's for the pastors on stage. That's for the leaders, not me. And it's another lie of the enemy telling you, no, 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 you have this condemnation. You've done too bad. You can't go share the good news. But the truth is, we share this news, we share this truth, even though we have struggles we are working on. When we have received this good news, it gives us the ability to defend against the attacks. But you know what also it does? To go and tell other people about what Jesus has done. Because when you go and tell people, man, it builds your faith up. It strengthens you as you keep teaching and preaching and telling people, Jesus has died and Jesus has risen. You don't need to wait till you're good. Don't need to wait till you got 10 years of recovery or whatever it may be. Don't listen to any of those lies. If you have the good news and if you put your faith in it, then you have all that you need to go tell the next person about what Jesus has done. And I think a great picture of this is in John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is the story of the woman at the well. And I love, this is one of my favorite sections of scripture. I think it's so wonderful. But to give you a little context in John chapter 4, Jesus is and his disciples are getting ready to walk through Samaria. And at the time, Jews and Samaritans had this fight, right? They just did not like each other. They hate each other. They're at odds. And so the disciples wanted to walk around Samaria, like 3 days' journey. Jesus said, no, we're going to walk through. We're going to tell the people. We're going to love people there. And Jesus knew he had an appointment with this lady. And so as he's walking in, as he's walking through Samaria, his disciples, they walk away. They say, we're going to go get food. We're going to go get something. And Jesus goes to this well. And this is where he meets this woman. And they begin to chat. And he begins to ask the woman, draw me some water. Give me something to drink. And Jesus, in engaging with this woman, they begin to talk about spiritual things. She asks him where to worship, all this different stuff. And Jesus begins to slowly lay out who he is. And at one point, it's revealed, Jesus says, all right, go and get your husband. She says, well, I don't have a husband. He goes, you're right, you've had four. And the one you're living with now is not your husband. He says, I know you're living in sin. I know what you have done. And later on in the conversation, Jesus, or the woman says to Jesus in John 4, verse 25, the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So she has this real encounter with the Christ, with the Savior, with the Messiah. He tells her plainly, I am the one. I am the one who has come to bring salvation, to bring forgiveness of sins, a new relationship with God. She has a real encounter with Jesus. And what does she do with her next step? Well, it says she spent the next 4 years in Bible college learning how to tell others about Jesus. The very next thing she does is verse 28 where it says, so the woman left her water jar, went away into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? You know what she did when she saw the gospel in front of her? When she saw Jesus the Christ, she went out there for water that she probably needed to cook and to clean and to drink for the day. But what did she do? She dropped everything she had. She dropped it all and she ran into town and said, look who I found. Look who this is. He has told me all that I've done. He is, can this be the Christ? Come see this man. She didn't wait to go to church the next Sunday. She didn't wait to learn the tips from table leaders. She didn't wait to learn enough about the Bible. She had a real encounter with Jesus, saw that he was the Christ, believed it, and went and told people. That's using these shoes of the gospel in this offensive manner. Because other people need it. And you know what is wonderful about this story? What happens just a few verses later, verse 39. And many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. And many believed. And you know what is so wonderful about that? Is who was the one going and preaching that good news in that town? Jesus wasn't the first one to run in there. It wasn't the disciples. It was this woman who was living in sin, who even had so much shame that she went to the well at a time of day when no one else would be there so that she wouldn't be ridiculed. But this woman who had a real encounter with Jesus, not just some fake encounter or some mystical belief, but a real encounter with Jesus, and went into the town and told people, this is the Christ, and many believed. What an encouragement that should be for you. What an encouragement that should be for all of us. It doesn't matter what we've done. Grace wipes it all away. And in Psalms it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. He takes our sin and throws it as far as we can never see again. And his grace covers us all. And when we believe this truth and we have this real encounter with Christ, we should go and tell other people. Because the truth is, there are other souls engaged in the same fight we are. We all know people in our lives engaged in the same fight we are. And you know what is sad? Many of those people don't even know they're engaged in this war. So blinded by the world, so blinded by these vain desires and these false hopes, experiencing the same spiritual warfare. And there is only one thing that will save them and that will give them victory. And it's the same thing that gave me victory, that gives you victory, Lord willing, to put your faith in Jesus. It is one name, one person, Jesus Christ. Once again, if you've put your faith in the gospel and you've put on these shoes of the gospel, you have all that you need to go on the offensive and to engage in this spiritual warfare and tell others about what Christ has done for you. But Paul asked the question in Romans 10, how will they hear? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How will they hear? And he says this in Romans 10, 14 through 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard?
And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I hope this be true for you tonight. I hope that if there's any lies of the enemy that you're hearing, that you're maybe believing, that you can't go tell someone. Man, you're not the one to go and share the good news because of all that you've done. Truth is, if we believe in the gospel, then we have all that we need to go and tell others about Jesus. And you know what is so wonderful about that? As you go and you tell, and you see God move in their life, help them overcome recovery, help overcome addiction, help them to change their life. You know what it does for you? It strengthens your faith. It strengthens your faith because you see, man, the God that you serve is so wonderful. And there's nothing better than his grace. And there's nothing better than seeing another person come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's a beautiful act of this warfare that we engage in that strengthens us when we go and share the gospel. So just to wrap up, thinking about these boots and these shoes that we put on, how will you overcome this spiritual warfare, overcome this sin? How will you be able to do that defensively? Truth is, by clinging to the gospel, using that as your strength to stand firm. And so what I would encourage you to do tonight, as you have an opportunity to talk to other people about your struggles, about what's going on in life, ask them. Ask your table groups, what practical ways can I use the truth of the gospel to stand in a defensive position against sin? What can I practically do? How can I, in those moments when I'm not around other people, when I'm by myself, when that temptation rises up and creeps and wants to tear me down, what do I do in those moments when there's a sneak attack? What do I do to stand defensively and firm in the truth of the gospel? Ask other believers. Ask them, what do I do? Practical ways to live out this truth. The second question, how will you overcome spiritual warfare and sin offensively? How are you going to use the truth of the gospel to go to the world and tell them about Jesus? To go on the offensive, to take ground for the kingdom, to go into fight against these principalities and powers of the air using the gospel of peace. You may think you don't know enough. There's plenty of times where I feel that way, where you feel just, it can't be me, all that I've done. Don't listen to those lies. If you know the gospel, if you've been changed by that, you have all that you need. Maybe if you're worried, going to your friends who also have these same struggles, what are they going to think of me? Are they going to think I'm judging? Are they going to think I'm pretentious? But I want to end with this quote, and I love it a lot. It's by R.C. Sproul. And I believe this should be our mindset as we think about this idea of using these boots, these shoes, to go and share the gospel of peace. He says, "Christians have nothing to be smug about. We are not righteous people trying to correct the unrighteous. We're just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread." That's who we are. We're just another person in desperate need of grace who's going to other people who are in desperate need of grace. Where to find that endlessly? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And I thank you so much for tonight to be able to open the word and to study about the armor of God. Father, we are so thankful for your strength, your might that sustains us every day. I pray for every person in here that they don't lose sight of that truth, that they don't lose sight that every moment of their life, it is not on their strength, it's not on what they can do, it is on the strength of the Lord. And then I pray, as we think about these shoes, the gospel, these boots of the gospel, I pray that you help us to use them in both ways. to stand firm on the truth that Jesus has won the victory, that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And to also use the boots to go on the offensive and to tell people about the same Jesus who changed our life so that they can experience the same peace, the same joy, the same grace that we have. Father, we love you so much. We pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen.